This podcast is produced by the Rec Peer Education Team. The Rec Room is the youth programs branch of Kachemak Bay Family Planning Clinic. To learn more, visit homerrecroom.org.
Hello, and welcome to the Period Podcast in Homer, Alaska. I'm your host, Esme Golden, and today we're going to talk about how being in the LGBTQ plus community affects your healthcare. Our guests today are Robin Holmes, Jamie Bacchus, and Frankie Opatz. We'll do the introductions and then get right into the questions. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
My name is Robin Holmes, she, her. I'm the medical director at the Kachemak Bay Family Planning Clinic.
My name is Jamie. I go by he, him pronouns, and I am a trans person.
My name is Frankie Opatz. I use he, him pronouns. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist at Kenai Peninsula Mental Health here in Homer.
All right, let's just dive in then. What do you think are the biggest healthcare barriers that LGBTQ people face today?
One is not knowing what is different about being an LGBTQ individual versus what still applies to you. So I think that's one big barrier, and that can be a barrier that means that people just don't show up to the doctor's office.
I feel a lot of things that people struggle with today, or like receiving, is gender-affirming surgeries and hormones. You have to go to the right places, and not every place will offer things to help you, which is why a lot of trans folk feel the need to like outsource like international doctors to get gender affirming surgeries.
I would say the biggest barrier is queer and trans folks not feeling safe to enter. You know, having healthcare providers that are knowledgeable about LGBTQ specific healthcare needs, as well as just affirming and accepting healthcare providers. I guess part of that is for providers to actually be outwardly affirming, you know, so there may be providers that are affirming, but they're not, you know, there's no visual representation to let their queer clients or trans clients know that it's an affirming place.
What are some ways that healthcare facilities are making it easier or better for LGBTQ people facing these challenges?
I think there's a lot of real fear around who a trustworthy provider may be. So I work at a couple of institutions, and I have for the past few years. So I've worked at government-funded institutions and private practices, and now here it's one of our focuses to be as open as possible and have good access to healthcare for all populations. But I think we need to be taking it upon ourselves to make sure that everyone is trained, because it's not just the doctor. The first person you interact with is the person who picks up the phone when you call to make your appointment, right? And so we need to be doing a better job of making sure that everyone who works at a clinic has some basic understanding of what LGBTQ people are looking for in a healthcare organization.
I feel some places do a good job by being anonymous, and by being flexible, and by like learning how to work with their patients instead of not doing that.
So I think that there has been increasing education and awareness, you know, in medical facilities. I think that there's been more trainings, and each year there's been increasing awareness in the media, et cetera, of just, you know, health disparities and things specific to the LGBTQ community. And I think that the medical community, along with, you know, other areas, have upped their education a little bit and learned more about how to create safe spaces for our community.
Do you think it's important to discuss LGBTQ healthcare?
I think it's important because, firstly, there's a lot of people out there who don't know anyone who's LGBTQ. And discussing it in the scenario of healthcare, I think, is a common base for a lot of people where no one is super comfortable with healthcare. So I'm comfortable with healthcare because I'm a doctor, right? But not everyone is. So sometimes when you find out that someone has never known an LGBTQ person in their lifetime, sometimes approaching it from a common ground of sexual and reproductive health kind of levels the playing field, for example. I also think it's important because we do have a lot of leftover stigma. I do think that it's important to mention the LGBTQ plus community by name because there is still a lot of research out there showing that that community is marginalized as a whole. And maybe that differs if it's trans men versus trans women versus black trans man versus black trans woman versus, you know, upper middle class white lesbians, right? But there's still a lot to be said for just looking at that group in general and still seeing that there's higher rates of depression and suicide and STIs. It's not just about sexual and reproductive health. Everyone still needs to be getting their pap smears. It doesn't matter who you're having sex with. Everyone still needs to go to the doctor if their blood pressure is high.
I think it is incredibly important because it is good for people to have knowledge so they can create an educated opinion on whatever it may be LGBTQ related. And it's good for people to just know about that stuff so we continue to stop misinformation.
I think a lot of times folks that don't have an awareness, they're like, well, what's, why, do, I mean, it's just healthcare, right? It's just bodies. It's just, you know, it's all the same. And in an ideal world, yeah, it would be all the same, right? But we don't live in that world. And we don't live in a world where things are equal and things are equally accessible, and that, you know, people of all bodies and genders and sexual orientations and identities feel the same walking into a medical clinic. And so, yes, we need to talk about LGBTQ health concerns.
What are some ways allies like friends or family can help LGBTQ healthcare?
I think that it's a great idea to bring someone to your healthcare appointments. And the reason I say this in the context of allies is not all LGBTQ people have a good relationship with their family, which is one of the first people a lot of people go to when they have to go to a medical appointment. I think an ally comes from a place of comfort if they themselves aren't going to a medical facility with a medical problem. They don't have any anxiety built up about having to deal with their own medical history. I think that's super important. I think LGBTQ people end up having to sometimes do a lot of explaining themselves to a provider, depending on where they go. And if you have a second person there, I think it helps offload some of that burden from the patient, in my experience. That's really helpful.
I feel that allies can do their best by listening to others, whether it be like listening about their experiences or like just
listening to a podcast.
Yeah, like one of these, or, you know, or just like exposing yourself to like challenges or like things that they do. You know, it's a good way for you to learn. And it's very important that you have knowledge that's useful. Mm-hmm. And so you could even teach others.
I think a way that allies and, you know, friends, family can help is, it's hard for someone who identifies, you know, within a marginalized community, in this example, we're talking about the LGBT community, but to have to be constantly sort of advocating for yourself and putting yourself out there to get your needs met. And that's a really vulnerable position to be in. It can feel kind of scary and not safe at times. And so I think a great thing that allies can do is to be able to be the voice and to represent and to go out there and have conversations, you know, with their medical providers.
That is unfortunately all we have for you today, but before we go, I'd like to thank Robin Holmes, Jamie Baucus, and Frankie Opatz for sharing their thoughts and experiences with us this episode. We had one more person we interviewed, but because of time reasons, she couldn't make it into this episode. However, we will be doing a second part to this topic with her in it, so keep an ear out for Val Shepherd's episode on LGBTQ sexual health and her experiences being trans. If today's topic was of interest to you and you would like to learn more about what we discussed, then I would like to recommend a few online resources, starting with scarleteen.com, homerrecroom.org, and kbfpc.org. Thanks for listening, and be sure to check out more upcoming episodes of the Period Podcast.